We'll call the Tuesday, November 3rd, 2021 Clean Water Commission meeting into order. Roll call. Renata's present. Marie.
Here.
Michelle. Chris.
Here.
Matthew Jones.
Here.
Sue.
She was having trouble connecting earlier. So I'm not quite sure. I was emailing with her a little while ago.
Okay. Quick side note, is Sandra official?
Yes, as of yesterday.
Okay. Excellent. Sandra?
Present.
Happy to have you on the official roll call.
Thanks.
Michelle Maynard?
Here.
Josh Seeds? Is he showing on yours?
He's logged in, but I don't see a camera.
I'm here. Can you not hear me?
Oh, I hear you.
Now we can.
I hear you. Thank you. Charlie.
He's not on my...
No Charlie today? Okay. All right. Next on the agenda is reviewing minutes for several sets that we have here. And double checking which ones you sent through. I know we have the July. Let's start with the July 13th.
Minutes. Both of the regular minutes were sent. I did not get a chance to finish the special meeting after. I lost. It disappeared on me. And so I've been frantically retyping them today. So I did not get the special minutes from the 10th with Henry's. Recreated in time. But the other two, the regular meetings are there.
All right, well, let's start with the Tuesday, July 13th minutes then. And are you saying that I'm in front of you, was that a special session or a regular meeting?
It was a regular meeting. Well, it technically was a special session in the fact that the 7th meeting was canceled and rescheduled to the 13th.
Okay, I just see the title on it, so special meeting summary.
It might be good to clarify that, because our special meetings have a certain definition for us, don't they?
Yes.
Somehow, on the minutes, I think we need to clarify that.
That's why it says special minutes, for the special meeting.
Well... but this was not the kind of special meeting that we regularly scheduled at the regular time, at a particular time in advance as a special meeting. I mean, we had a meeting that was scheduled for the 7th and it was delayed. So can we call it, can there be some kind of an explanation in the minutes?
Yes.
Thanks. Jeff's last name is also misspelled on the manager's report. It's Schnabel with a U in there.
Yes.
You know, with regard to the title, I didn't know if we can read meeting summary, and then when it says Tuesday, July 13th, you do a parenthesis saying originally scheduled July 7th, because I agree with Michelle that it's
off. And that is why the... two members that contacted us and let us know that they were not going to be available for the rescheduled meeting on the 13th were put down as excused. I mean, you're not officially required to anyway, but they had made sure that they would be here for the 7th, but had other obligations on the 13th.
Outside of that, I have not had that much time to read through the body of this to catch all of that.
I read through it. I didn't see anything stand out to me, but it's kind of hard to remember when you would get minutes 3 months later to remember what we discussed.
Under the Clean Water Division Outreach Bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, 4th bullet, In the middle, it's there's a place where it says Russia, and it should be Russian.
Oh.
Thank you for catching that.
And then you mentioned Marlee. Who's Marlee?
She's one of our monitoring staff.
You might want to put that in there for clarification.
Okay.
A little nitpicky, but at the end of commission discussion time, there's a bullet hanging at the end.
Thank you.
I'll just wait till we get to September.
Has everyone had time to look at July here to satisfaction? Do we have any motions to approve as amended?
I vote to approve as amended.
Do we have actually a motion and a second?
That was a motion for the first one, looking for the second.
I'll second too.
All right. Motion to approve and second as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. All right. Passes as amended. Moving to the September 1st meeting minutes.
I have quite a few things on my list. The roll call has, there's some commas that are missing, some commas that are hanging.
Okay.
Get down to the clean water. Pet waste is one word. Probably should be two. There's... under Alice's verbiage, field trip is one word. Should be two. During the kaleidoscope group with the DEI, some of the bullets have punctuation, some don't. There's a hanging bullet under the research group. And under the commissioner discussion time, there's a couple things that are repeated from the July minutes.
So I don't know if it just didn't come up in conversation until September, but there's a point here on my taking a position in the conservation district during the discussion time. That happened back in May.
Yeah, was it noted in the July minutes?
Yes.
You know, I would ask that these changes, that this one be cleaned up and resubmitted to us for approval. There are enough things that are hanging here. There's another Russia that should be Russian. There are sentences that are unfinished. I'm really not comfortable, and I haven't had the time really to take a look at it. That's my request.
I think that's a fair request.
Mm-hmm.
Any others in favor of pushing this to the next meeting?
Aye.
All right.
I'd be in favor of that.
Okay. As soon as we have enough in favor of it, I don't know if we really need to put that to a formal vote. We can just wait for the next one.
We'll just table it for the next one.
Yeah, so, and could you send them to us a couple of days, along with the agenda, a couple of days in advance? I mean, I'm not hearing anything about the meeting. I was like, oh, I guess we aren't having one. So I know that you've got a lot on your plate, you know, but if somehow you could bump even a less detailed agenda, et cetera, a little bit forward, and the minutes, that would really help us.
Definitely.
Thanks.
All right. So, next, do we have any public comments submitted at all for this evening?
No. And I had also changed the way the public can access the meeting and made it a little bit more accessible where they could just call in and listen to the meeting. And if they had anything to present, they could, or contact us through the other methods.
Is that platform for them calling in, were you saying that they can only listen to that, or they're able to?
They can listen, and I can actually chime in and make it where they can. Mine is not, this meeting is not as locked down as other public meetings, because we don't get the contentious public input. So if it came down to it, we could mute somebody if it was a contentious thing, or potentially if it was really egregious, there are methods of actually having the person knocked off of the meeting, but they can come back in. But we haven't had any of those kind of issues, so I haven't had to do it, so I've just left it open. So if anybody that called in would actually technically be able to talk, but I have the controls to be able to mute them from this end.
Okay. All right, with no public comment in, going to Clean Water Division updates. I thought Eric was with us.
Yes, thank you. And let's see, I guess I'll start with the project, which is getting closer and closer to nearing completion, our stormwater, private stormwater facility maintenance resources. We've got the videos posted in English, Spanish, and Russian. We've got the materials printed in those three languages as well. I've also made, we got the main brochure printed. They all came out really nice. And then we've even had a few laminate, a few of the rat cards laminated in the sets to that we used for our training to give out to some of the contractors if they wanted to keep some in the truck for reference. And then now I'm kind of in the process of getting all of those materials and reformatting some of the stormwater partners' pages to incorporate those. Probably about 90-95% done doing that. So just kind of reorganizing and reformatting some of the pages so that we can include the videos and then link the PDFs on those web pages. And essentially, each web page, to be more mobile friendly and just user friendly in general, I basically took the rat cards and made them into a web page, included the video, and included a link to the PDF there. So feel free to check over at the Stormwater Partners page and see what I've done there and provide feedback if you've got any. We had our training for contractors on the 14th of October. We had about 12 people signed up, and I think four or five ended up showing up. So yeah, we had about six different companies at one point signed up, two companies signed up, and you know, they expressed that they found value in it. Primarily, you know, both of these companies were, I believe, companies that kind of already knew how to do maintenance to the standards that we have. So maybe not a ton was new to them, but they really did appreciate being able to meet all the inspectors from the different jurisdictions at one place and make some of those connections there. and just to get feedback from, you know, what we see out there, common type of things that our inspectors are finding, and really, you know, just to clarify what the expectations are for what maintenance looks like that we can pass. So, yeah, just going to continue to do the web updates. I'm still working with our contractor for the virtual tours. They've been delayed a bit, so I've been kind of keeping in touch with them for the past couple weeks. I was expecting something last week that they were going to show me. I'm reaching out to them again. Hopefully they have something at the end of this week. But that's the other thing, is kind of making the web pages, making sure that the spot for that virtual tour, the web page is formatted for the virtual tour to be dropped right in there. So hoping in the next week or two to have that in there as well. And that'll pretty much wrap up most of the deliverables for that project. It feels good. I'm working on it a long time. The pet waste behavior change project, that pilot, we did wrap up as well. Andrew and I did the poop counts on in September and then October. I don't think I had a chance to update you guys about this because I wasn't at the October meeting, but the September poop count really threw us, to be honest. We were finding right around, you know, 50 to 55 piles. It was kind of somewhere around the average, maybe about 50. And then came September, and it was like 112. And so, you know, there's a few things that we were kind of wondering, you know, what is, why, right? Part of it may have been that we have had some rain, so some of the, it's kind of gross, but you might have seen some of these pieces of poop that are left out in the rain. They grow some type of mold or fungus on them, kind of look like furry. They pop. The contrast really pops. So maybe we just saw some that we weren't seeing before. And the other part that kind of supports that is that more and more of the brush had kind of died back along the trail, alongside the trail when we were looking. So maybe it was more visible is maybe one possible explanation there. Because then when our poop count last month, to kind of wrap it up, was down really low to like 12 or so. So, you know, I think that had a weather component. Certainly people aren't utilizing the trail quite as much. So we have met with the other partners there and talked about our pilot and the results and things we would like to do different. You know, we have these trail signs along the side of the trail to kind of have a message for people on that trail. Those I might have mentioned to you before, were just kind of being thrown around, so we ended up just picking up. I think there's maybe one or two that are still maybe out there. Maybe somebody kept it for their own yard. I don't know. But yeah, you know, picking those up and just having people just throw them around the side of the trail wasn't working out for us. So we scrapped that idea. We would like to do, we talked about doing mailers in future. Along future trails, just with a radius along the trail, because we did know, at least anecdotally, that a lot of the people that use that trail anyway, and I suspect other trails, are people that are in the neighborhood. And so that's another thing that we were talking about. And then another thing that we were talking about was to try and to get, because I guess some of our partners have brought up some good points, but we don't really know, like, the problem with the poop without knowing, like, the number of dogs that are actually using the trail during that time as well. So they are suggesting that we incorporate some type of dog count to be able to match up the dogs using the trail with the poop counts that we're finding, which I do think would provide a better picture of progress or lack thereof from the outreach efforts that we embark on. So we're kind of, you know, putting that project away for a little bit until the new year. Now that we're not really, it's kind of that off season. some time to regroup and give us some more thoughts. So we'll be meeting up again in January to work out how we're going to, some of the changes that we wanted to make resulting from the pilot. But it was also neat. I attended this storm symposium today. Storm is like, Stormwater Partners on steroids up in the Puget Sound. Lots of jurisdictions. They do a ton of great work. They can get they always get a lot of money from different ecology grants and a bunch of different sources. So they do a ton of work. And I was talking with another person who's also doing pet waste up there. And so I'm feeling good about at least the way we're evaluating our program here. Some other things that we're doing kind of related to Stormwater Partners, we're started planning for the 2022 student video contest, along with some of the folks from the River Starts here. Some of the things that we'd like to do, that we wanted to do that we're working on now, is to try to really just make our fact sheets that we give to the students for potential topics they can make a video of, to really kind of simplify them a little bit. And the idea being, when you give a student these fact sheets, with links to go here and links to go there, I don't think they were really going to those links necessarily. They were kind of taking what was on that fact sheet and sometimes using it verbatim, just regurgitating whatever, we had on there. So we thought maybe if we really are more intentional about exactly what we want them to say on those sheets, that will be more of a chance that they kind of come out with the message that we're looking for. And the idea behind that is if we can kind of help with that part of it and really let the students, let the students' creativity in the video making and the filmmaking shine, then I think that'll be, get some more creativity, get some higher quality videos, and making sure that our message is on target there. So, and we'd also like to kind of create a name for the video contest and kind of spitballing some different ideas for the video contest name that we can use for both the River Starts Here's contest and the one up here, because we run it at the same time and we cross promote each other. So it'd be nice to have kind of a consistent name, and certainly, the River Starts Here and Stormwater Partners Student Video Contest just is a mouthful that nobody wants to say or remember. So we had a couple ideas, and I think we're going to be voting on that soon. Looking forward to getting the student video contest again. One departure that we had from the River Starts Here, they were interested in, and I think they're going this direction, is to just do, just have it be for high school students, because they weren't feeling like the content being generated from the middle school students was quite the quality that they felt was usable for sharing on social media or really utilizing as an agency. I think Stormwater Partners up here, we really diverged on that and really wanted to keep including middle school students, because we kind of view this, not only as getting content from our students, but as a stewardship project that students can engage with. So we did want to keep middle school students engaged for that reason. The Clean Rivers Coalition projects for the EPA grant that they received, and I'm on the steering committee for that coalition, is moving along with the website and the videos being created, in addition to both the Columbia River videos and also the pesticide reduction videos. So hopefully early next year we'll have some materials to show for that. Also next year will be Don't Trip and Drive will be resuming. I know that the Watershed Alliance just hired a new, the previous person coordinating the Don't Trip and Drive and doing most of the work for that, the Watershed Alliance, was no longer working for them anymore, so they hired somebody new. And so I look forward to working with him to do this final year of Don't Trip and Drive. and see how it is to kind of light that thing back up after it kind of smoldering for a couple of years now. So that's been kind of what we've been looking at recently. I did a presentation with Clark County Green Schools. They had a kind of a teacher training back on the 7th of October. Attended the Student Watch and Monitoring Network teacher kickoff on the 12th. And then, as Marie mentioned, I did a presentation for Naturescaping of Southwest Washington, along with the Camas Public Library, a presentation called Stream Friendly Homes, where I talk about different ways, obviously naturescaping, they're big into different landscaping and alternative uses for yards. So talked about some different things that people can do at home, like practices that they can do, like sweeping up rather than holding off, reducing or eliminating chemical use in yard and garden, and fertilizers, things like that. But also talked about some different kind of landscape alternatives that can help both mitigate stormwater, also reduce herbicides, pesticide use. So we talked about meadowscaping, talked a little bit about disconnecting downspouts, and shared some resources about that, and then kind of let everyone know about some of the great rain garden resources that are out there. And so that presentation was last Friday, and it went the full time, 4 to 6. So it was good to get out there, kind of out there, because that's something I really enjoyed doing. And then, of course, the symposium is in just a couple weeks from now, on the 16th. I think I've invited almost everyone except for Sandra. I don't know if I had your email yet, so I don't know if I've invited you, but Brendan, would you forward that to Sandra, that invite, if you want to attend?
Can do.
Yeah, so that'll be good. We've got a presenter from the work that the Clean Rivers Coalition had been doing. One of the things that they did was they hired this company, Laura Media, to do a Latinx focus group and listening session to better understand, environmental concerns of that community, to understand barriers to participation in stewardship events, to understand media uses. So we will be, the keynote for the symposium will be to hear their kind of summary of the findings and recommendations from those focus group and listening sessions. And I think it's something that, hopefully will be valuable to all the different stormwater partners and different nonprofits and agencies and local jurisdictions that want to increase their outreach to the Latinx community. So that's what I've got. Are there any questions that you have for me? Okay.
A lot of good work, Eric, as usual.
Actually, I have one question, Eric.
Yeah.
That is around the Heritage Farms project. Is there any way that even before it's done during the design and construction process that there can be some community education around it? I don't know if there are any, renderings or if there's anything, any graphic that's been done or about the process or anything like that. But it just seems like an important project, and it might be a way to get folks, particularly in that area, involved and that watershed, engaged.
Yeah, I'm sure there is some things that we could do, and I will check in with the project manager about that and check in with our team, Marley, well, she's out right now, but about things that we can do to possibly get some outreach out ahead of time.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks as usual, Eric.
Yeah.
All right. Or do you want to sit around for the rest of this and get on with your evening?
As much as I'd love to, I am going to sign off here. But it was nice seeing you all, and we'll be in touch. Maybe I'll see you in a couple weeks at the symposium.
Right on, man. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, Eric.
Justin, you got your hands full, or do you want to do a manager's report right now?
No, it's all good. He's quiet right now, so he has no public comments on what Eric just said, so I think we're good to keep rolling. So I guess I'll start, since Herod's Farm did come up. We actually have, I'll mention that Public Works actually has a drone that can be used for flyovers of various projects and everything, and I know Rob Klug, our county engineer, is pretty interested in how that can be used to really show people what we're doing. So all of Clean Water's projects that I have in mind for it it's going to be a long game that we're playing with that. Heritage Farm is one of those. So we have a meeting tomorrow to talk about what projects we want to do drone flyovers of, and it's not just going to be a one-time thing. We're going to use those flight paths at various times through the construction, and hopefully be able to put together a pretty neat product at the end of what's most likely going to be like a three-year period. That includes Heritage Farm. One of the other projects that I'd like to see it used on is Schreiber Reforestation, which just got through its first phase of planting recently. It's up kind of near the center. It's a stretch of reforestation that's... I don't remember how many acres it is exactly. I don't remember if the whole thing's 6 acres or if the second phase that's going to be planted next year is 6 acres. I forget, but it's a good stretch. And the nice thing about it is it was just planted. So if we start with drone flyovers now and do them quarterly, we're going to be able to catch that second phase of planting and see the difference over the next few years as things establish. Another upcoming one that we have, I believe, is Cougar Creek that we're planning on potentially considering for these drone flyovers. So we have a few projects in mind where I think the end result could be a pretty neat product, and Eric will probably find all kinds of creative uses for it. So that's kind of a fun initiative that we have coming up. With all of those projects listed, we did go to a council work session for the six-year capital plan update. That's slated for adoption on November 16th. It's a pretty minor update to the capital plan. It's really all that's changing substantially is the schedule of, you know, what projects are being done. We're adding some maintenance projects that have come up over the past year. So that'll be another big milestone this year, getting that plan adopted. In the future, we're really going to align that process with the transportation improvement plan. Same with parks, I believe, will fall in line with transportation improvement plan. We're kind of trying to unify the whole capital projects process across public works. I'm going to hand him off. Give me 1 second.
All right.
What was the last thing? I had one more. I guess, the treatment plant transition is going to be an ongoing process. I believe I brought that up last time we met, that it had been widely approved to start the process of considering a transition of treatment plant operations from county to the Clark Regional Wastewater District. Sandra, for your benefit, I don't know if you know or not that the Salmon Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant, the operations of it fall to the Clean Water Division. It's roughly half the division's current staff, essentially. The contract, as it's written right now, ends in 2024, and we are going to be looking at transitioning that early. So that's kind of in legal stages of amending those agreements right now. Provided nothing falls through, that goes to the Discovery Clean Water Alliance board on December 17th. So the reason I include it in this update is that it has been no small piece of my time figuring out the logistics of all of that. So I think the last thing I wanted to update on is we have the Student Watershed Monitoring Network, which primarily the project is done and performed by the City of Vancouver. We fund it through an interlocal agreement. So Rainy Row at the City of Vancouver primarily does that, and it's an educational effort. It involves essentially organizing educational field trips and site visits with students at various schools across the county to learn about essentially watershed monitoring, collection of data and management of data sets. It's a really neat effort, and we're in the middle of figuring out a 5-year renewal of that interlocal agreement that governs all of that work. So I think that's all I've got right now.
Justin, is the transfer of that wastewater facility, you're saying, I'm talking almost half the staff, is that going to free it up, or is that going to be a cut to the department?
It will essentially make the department a little bit smaller, all said and done. Those positions are essentially contract positions, and that's all union negotiations, so I'm not going to get into conjecture about the details of that. Locked up in that phase of figuring out how things are going to work.
I guess I was mostly curious if it was freeing up resources for you guys.
It's not likely, mostly because it's a separate fund from what's actually called the Clean Water Fund. The Alliance funds all of the operation of the wastewater treatment plant. It'll free up some of my time. So, I guess it'll free up some resource. I won't say it won't free up any, because technically I do spend time on that fund.
Yeah, there's a win.
Yeah, and actually with some of that free time, it sounds like I will be taking on some of our floodplain work, which does have a small piece in the general fund dedicated to it. I don't think it'll take nearly as much time as the treatment plant's taking right now for me, but a good question, though. It's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the update on all the goings on. Sounds busy.
Alice can let me know if I forgot anything. I don't think I did. I think I covered everything I wanted to. But
I think that's good.
Well, Justin, this is Josh. I could ask, take a moment to ask a question.
Yeah.
I guess I should have asked the chair first.
No, go right ahead. Sorry. Right. Not being able to see everybody at the table. Go for it.
Yeah. And my bandwidth is getting hitchy, so I had to turn off my camera for everyone. So, Justin, when you're talking with about the capital improvements, you said you're going to be combining that with the transportation improvement plan and the parks plan, so that sort of all those would be rolling together.
It won't be a combined document. It's still going to be its own distinctive document.
Okay.
To be more clear about that, we're just going to bring it through the process of approval and adoption in parallel with the other capital planning efforts. It makes sense to do it that way. It's not...
So County Council will be seeing that all at once, so it does provide a more holistic view of those kinds of infrastructure management needs, which I think is really healthy. I agree with you there. When the council is looking through this, then they're made aware of kind of the growth in need in terms of what we need for capital stormwater facilities, and then also just the monitoring and maintenance needs as well. I'm thinking in particular of the monitoring of the large number of stormwater facilities that are private and the responsibility of HOAs or similar organizations.
Yeah, I feel like the 6-year plan doesn't touch on that well enough, personally. What we also presented at the work session was our plans for that 20-year planning effort, which still needs to gain a little bit more steam and move forward. We just need to find the staff time to spend on it. The council was actually extremely interested in that effort. And on top of that, the effort that we're talking about that needs to go into really examining the condition of the pipes, the closed pipe systems, So, yes, there are so many different types of facilities in the county that need to, I think light really needs to be shed on the growth in the number of those facilities and their condition, especially as those facilities age. And that 20-year plan is going to be an opportunity to do that and really show the bigger picture of it and then take and use that to support updating the 6-year plan and, you know, identifying projects that we're going to tackle on a more, you know, continuous basis with a little bit more defined costs associated with them.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is the particularly the monitoring and kind of enforcing maintenance of the privately held stormwater facilities is very much on my mind. Lacamas Creek drainage is having some real trouble, and of course that HOA on the shore of Round Lake, that their facility was actually a phosphorus source, has been made in the news. But you know, the harmful algal blooms were pretty persistent this year in Lacamas Lake and Round Lake, and so you know, we're kind of seem to be building a lot of those facilities now, but that would just be something I want to make sure the council is aware of, just the need to make sure that HOAs are doing the job they promised to do.
Yeah, that work session, I think, was a great opportunity to integrate some discussion about that longer-term, larger, overarching effort. And I know Jeff is very interested in taking a closer look at those facilities and figuring out which ones really need attention and prioritizing them. It's not going to be a small effort, but it's our minds are very much there.
Was that a specific kind of facility, Josh? I didn't read about it. So.
Yeah. So as I understand it, it was essentially a constructed wetland that was supposed to serve as a sink for nutrients and you know, kind of any washed off metals and so on. But part of what was supposed to be happening, particularly on the nutrients side, was there was supposed to be they're supposed to keep the trees out, and then a regular harvest of, and removal of the vegetation. Basically then, you know, removing the nutrients in that biomass to a different site so that it can continue capturing. And that basically wasn't done, and then the alders came in and, you know, other shrubby and tree vegetation that then meant the grassy, you know, sedgy type stuff that was supposed to be capturing the nutrients were shaded out, and some water quality monitoring by members of the HOA actually showed that the influent water into the constructed wetland was lower in phosphorus and nitrogen than the water leaving it.
Yeah, it's actually not uncommon with constructed wetlands to be phosphorus releasers.
Yeah, you have to get once the phosphorus is captured in biomass, you have to then remove the biomass to keep it in the state of growth and capture. So anyway,
in the sediments, but either way, it's fairly maintenance intensive. And I think that's what the HOAs, you know, so I'm sure that's part of, you know, what you're going to look at. That's in my, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of other phosphorus and nitrogen sources in the Lacamas Creek drainage, you know, as you get up on the Livingston Mountainside and farther north. It's a history of agriculture, and now it's some kind of abandoned agricultural area and some new developments with their own stormwater facilities, but I doubt that particular facility is the source of, you know, all the phosphorus by any stretch that's going into the Round Lake Lacamas Lake system. But I also think it's probably, you know, just the failing stormwater facility that made the news, and that there's probably a lot of others. And, you know, this is, I think, a downside of the privately owned and maintained stormwater facilities is that it's easy to let them slip. Whereas I have a much higher degree in confidence in county staff maintaining the publicly owned and managed stormwater facilities.
Yeah, there's a silver lining, at least, in catching the news and drawing attention to the fact that they're not a one-and-done solution. Right.
Seems like there's also an opportunity for discussion about, some sort of source control in the upper watershed areas in this kind of situation.
Well, I know I attended a meeting earlier this year, and there's more parties involved and future efforts moving in that direction. I know ecology is kind of turning an eye there, and at the district as well, we're going to be including more conversation with Lacamas Lake as well from different programs that will be shifting that direction. So the Lacamas Lake watershed is definitely catching attention. If there's no other comments following that, thank you very much, Justin. And Alice, if you want to go ahead and do the staff liaison report for us.
Yes. Primarily what I need, feedback if anybody has anything about the new agenda that's been updated and cleaned up a bit. Let me know. You can either do it now or later. If not, this is, I think, what we're going to go towards. It has some idea. I pulled some inspiration from the parks agenda, where it identifies places where we need to have actions taken, like motions and approvals and things like that. So let me know on that. And the other big thing is I initially had Brendan, Marie, Michelle Gertz, and Matt Jones down as being interested in helping with the selection for the upcoming 2022 candidates. We have like four or five really amazing candidates, applicants. It's going to be, your job's going to be tough. So just know that going in. going to have to get your barber shears out. Right now, the way I'm looking at this, my trip got canceled, so I have a little bit more time available still, but we're still going to be, I don't think we'll make it onto the December 7th board meeting, but I still would like to have it done before Thanksgiving, and to the county manager before Thanksgiving, and then it'll get approved for the January 4th council meeting, and we have our meeting on the 5th. So I'm looking at potentially there's some time Thursday evening to go over and figure out what we want to do, or we can do Monday, Thursday the 8th, or no, Tuesday the 8th or 9th. I have all day pretty much available or into the evening. The 15th there's some time, 16th there's some time, and the 18th there's a lot of time. So, and I know that we've got the symposium with the Stormwater Partners, and there's a number of things going on. If I think the easiest is going to be if somebody, if I can get two people to volunteer, and then we will work out the schedules of what we're doing between myself, Justin, and we can go from there. So could I get... And we can work things during the day or in the evening, so depending on what people's availability is before Thanksgiving, basically to have one meeting to review the applicants and score them and have a discussion about who we want to interview, set up, and I'll set up the interviews for possibly later that week or late the next week, and then depending on how many you want to interview, it'll be... couple hours, and then potentially have a decision made. So it'll be two or three meetings one fairly short, maybe an hour, and then there'll be a couple others for the interviews, and we can break them up over days or have a big block, so depending on what people's availability is. So
as far as volunteers, I thought, and I could be wrong in this, but the last one that Matt and Michelle had volunteered, and then Michelle had a follow-up asking about times for this, for the interviews.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and Marie had also indicated some interest, so I just wanted to make sure, and I know Matt had said that it depended on when the time was, so because he was going to be in and out of availability. So,
well, I think what I would suggest at this point, yeah, I thought that we had decided that Matt and I were going to do
okay.
it, but at this point, it doesn't matter to me because, you know, time, we're getting crunched in terms of the schedule at this point. So, what I would suggest, why don't you, so that you have everything, why don't you send out a poll with the possible dates and times, and then we can sign up or not, and then you and Brendan can make a decision as to who the people are.
Okay.
And are you able to forward on those applications?
Yes. In fact, I had to wait just in case, because we had the deadline being Monday, and in case somebody put something in the mail, I couldn't actually pull everything until we checked the mail today, just to make sure that nothing came in that was postmarked before. So that's one of the reasons why we were a little bit more delayed than we had anticipated. But I got it.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. Okay. I will.
As far as your question on the agenda, I like the look of this. I like that you have the areas for motions needed marked. Outside of that, looks good.
Okay, thank you. And then I wanted to thank Michelle Maynard and. Sue's not here, but and then also technically Sandra, for your time and energy and working towards with the commission. We really greatly appreciate your expertise that you've provided, and we will definitely miss you, and hope that you come and hang out and be a member of the public in the future. So, and that's all I have. It was really short because we have a lot of other.
Is this your last meeting, Michelle?
Yes.
I couldn't hear you.
I believe officially it is, but frankly, I'm going to keep coming to these meetings, which
means
he and this guy are probably also going to be at the meetings as members of the public.
As long as they're still COVID meetings.
Some silver lining to this.
Yeah.
Maynard Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Just a question of clarification so I know what to look for, because some things are ending up in my Comcast spam folder. You'll be sending out a poll for times and dates for meetings within the next 2 days.
I actually do not work on Friday, and I actually cannot get overtime nor.
No, I'm not asking that. I'm just asking, what would your schedule be for sending them out?
I am hoping to get it done because I have a limited time even for tomorrow because of the extra time for tonight. So I am hoping to have it done before I leave.
Yeah, I can help make sure that it goes out by the end of the week too.
Well, I just want to make sure that we have as many options as possible, because otherwise it's going to be pretty difficult to get it done on this timeline. So, you know, so okay, I'll look for it every day.
Alice, did you have anything else under that reminders announcement category there?
No, because I think that's it for now, because it's the rest of it's brought up later. And I know that we covered a bunch of the other stuff earlier.
Okay. Thank you. Moving into working groups, Matt, do you have an update for outreach?
Sure, quick update. Justin Marie and I met with the Parks Advisory Board last month about Salmon Safe. We didn't have a lot of time, but we also didn't have a lot to present either, so just wanted to float the idea by them. The consensus, well, maybe shouldn't call it consensus, but comments from the advisory board really were around return on investment of this initiative and sort of a, you know, it's definitely a nice thing to do, but what would we be getting in return? So those were just, and those are of course fair questions. I did follow up and meet with the executive director of Salmon Safe, Dan Kent, a couple weeks ago, and talked a little bit more about what they've been doing, a little bit more about the process. And as such, we have a follow-up meeting with Dan Kent, the executive director of Salmon Safe, late next week, and that's with Justin Marie and myself as well. And Justin, maybe Rocky from Parks, maybe not.
I'm glad you reminded me because I want to bring it up to him and just make sure that he's on board with attending it. So
okay. And, you know, the information that Dan, again, the executive director of Salmon Safe, he's been doing this a long time. Working with a lot of groups, apparently working with a lot of tech companies up in the Puget Sound area right now that are doing the Salmon Safe, but he's definitely worked on plenty of public projects. If I understood him correctly, the Washington State Ecology's campus up in Olympia, Tomato area, was the first campus that they certified here in the state. So we'll be meeting with them next week, just to sort of get a little bit additional information, and I was hoping to get a chance for Justin to ask the more articulate questions, sort of from the angle that he's working on of Dan's, to see if this is something that we should continue to pursue and talk about. But also had a chance to talk to the executive director of Multnomah County Drainage District, who led the initiative for the Salmon Safe certification in Portland, for the city of Portland and their parks, a number of years ago. So that was really great information as well. The one piece he sort of said was one of the many benefits was really the just how you look to regulators that come in because you've gone through this outside process to get, you know, quote unquote, certified. So that's, you know, potentially one return on investment we could think about. I think that's about it for me, for us. Marie, did I miss anything?
No, that's pretty much what we're working on.
Okay, great. You're always great at reminding me of the stuff I forget.
Quality control.
That's right. We all need it. Another benefit of Salmon Safe, it's quality control. It's an audit. It's a performance audit.
Thanks, Matt. Michelle, do you have anything for partnerships?
Well, welcome aboard, Sandra. You're on partnerships. And I'm not actually sure who else is on partnerships right at this point. It may be that there isn't anybody else on. Does anybody know?
I don't, off the top of my head.
Technically, Sue was.
I was going to say, Sue had been participating.
Who was on? I know who was on, but not who is now.
Who is now.
But, Sandra, I'll send you an email, shoot you an email, and see if there's a time when we can talk. I think that us doing anything will wait until after the new members come on, because at least one of them will be also on partnerships, and we might as well, you know, do the kickoff at all at the same time when everybody's there. But I'll shoot you an email, and we can see if we can talk on the phone at some point.
Definitely. I'll look for that.
Orient. Great. Thank you. And that's it for now.
Thank you, Michelle. Michelle Maynard. for research. I've got some stuff I can report on, but I want to let you go ahead and start if you got it, me too.
Oh, yeah. I'll just say that it looks like our schedules will never align, so it's very unlikely we're going to have another meeting.
Gosh, just for trying.
But I think the goal is to, we've been trying to get ideas via the email chain. None have really been sent out yet, but I think we're all just sort of stewing and thinking about it. But the good news is that Brendan has made progress as far as getting things together with the meeting for the creek renaming. So since you've made the progress, I'll let you take over. Dave Conrad's more to say.
I've had more coming in too the past few days, so it's been good. I sent out the letter that we all approved, just kind of expressing our interest in what we were looking at doing. I sent it to three different organizations. They're all centered in the Portland area, just that being our local metropolitan. But members from two of them reached back out. The Oregon Chinese Coalition has 11 members of their group at this point that are wanting to participate in the conversation. And then the Chinese American Citizens Alliance has two members in particular that wanted to join, one of whom is the... I'm not remembering the exact title, but there's Museum of Chinese History. She's one of the financial directors and administrators for that. And then another member of the organization that is, you know, kind of a hobby historian and also a resident in Clark County. There was a gentleman named Dale Holm, who is a community historian that reached out with interest. I'm not sure if he was with one of those organizations or if somebody passed that along to him. I also reached out to Chelsea Rose via your recommendation, Michelle. And so she's on board. And then I spoke with Michelle and Matt about joining me in trying to have a sit-down conversation with all these folks that are interested. I wanted to keep this initial meeting to just three of us from the board so we can skip the whole Open Public Meetings Act charade and just get into the conversation, not to organize that whole piece. Then I would like to have future larger conversations with that. So the next step for me is sending out a poll to try to get all of those interested parties on the same page for a time that works for everybody, and then be reporting back. I'll be kind of spearheading that piece and continue with the momentum on that conversation. What I would like some help with, if anybody is interested in, and I don't know if outreach or partnerships may have time for this, but one of the next steps that I see would be good to kind of hit beforehand, before we have proposals that might go forward for any type of reconsideration or renaming, is trying to contact some of the, potentially if there's any active neighborhood associations or businesses nearby those areas. Because part of the process, as I recall from my past, you know, experience with it, is that this will go to like a county level and then state and federal. But really where your opposition might come up to anything is on that local county level. And the reality of it would come into play is if anybody's having to change, spend money on it. I do not think this is a situation where there's any businesses or street names that are really going to require a lot of changing other than updating systems in the county and some signage around that. So optimistically, there's not anybody's going to have to, you know, fork up a lot of money for this type of change, and that's where most opposition comes from. But I thought it would be good for us to try to actively reach out as well to the community in that area of the Upper Lackness Creek watershed. So thoughts or input on that from everybody would be welcome if anybody's interested in helping with that part.
This is Marie. There's a neighborhood association up there, which I'm not sure there is, but we could definitely bring that to the NACA board. So I can see it's a canvas.
Yeah, I feel like I have to look at a map to confirm, but I feel like it falls within, as far as neighborhood associations, in the Crokesville area, which used to be an active neighborhood association.
Yeah.
But I'd have to double check that.
Yeah, there actually might be a couple, because it's, you know, fairly wraps around.
Yeah.
In which case, NAC would be the great place to go, at least first.
Yeah, we can put something together and get on their agenda.
Okay. Yeah, we can bring it forward with that and see. I know, you know, in our minutes it had said, and you know, it's kind of part of this conversation, well, would there be any interest in the name change? And I can tell you that the responses I was getting from the Chinese American community were very open and encouraged that we were taking action on this, and really happy to see the effort that was going on, and excited to join the conversation. So I can say that I was feeling very optimistic about, you know, the support and the fact that people were really excited about it. So that's good. All right. Next in the unfinished business and actions, we got a bylaws update. I know Alice provided an attachment of that. So there's the proposed bylaw change. This was with regard to posting that goes forward when we have a vacancy. And so if you see that attachment, the second part is the current bylaw as it reads. The opening part there is the proposed changes. I did this based on the proposal I made at the previous meeting that we had, where I basically traded spots in those last two sentences and then added the part on if no applicants are currently on file to be considered. So the idea being here that if we find ourselves in a situation where we have a vacancy and we still have applicants on file within that year that we want to call back up and check with, we do not have to go through the process of posting the vacancies for finding new applicants. We can dip into that pool that we have on hand. If we don't have anybody, then we would do the posting and go through the process. Does anybody have any feedback on it, or if we want to make any motions with regard to this bylaw change?
I have a question. I understand what your objective is, but the addition in red is and no applications currently on file are considered. Does that mean that there aren't any on file, or that there are applications currently on file, but it's elected that they aren't even contacted, they aren't considered?
I see the question on that, and I, at least in the draft that I submitted on this, I had thought about leaving it open. I get that it would be better to have, in one way, it would be better to have it clarify that, you know, if no applicants are currently on hand to be considered, that we would then post it. I guess part of what I was thinking was the way this came up in the first place has been a very critical eye at how to interpret the bylaws. And if this says no applications are currently on, or none of them are considered, then I feel like that leaves it open to say, if we don't have any and we don't want to follow up with any of the ones that we currently have, or we want to open it up and get more applicants, you know, whatever flexibility we want to have, I wanted to leave into the language, because what I've noticed is that if you don't specify the flexibility, you don't get it.
Yeah, and so the can be considered is the option for doing whatever the flexibility. I mean, that gives you the flexibility. Okay. Okay.
I like it. I get it. We read it out loud like 5 times, but...
Any other feedback from other commission members on that one?
Sounds good to me too, Brendan.
Sorry, excuse me a second. I have to let a dog out of the room here real quick.
Hey.
Sorry about that. All right, do we have a formal motion to amend the bylaw? All right, here, motion to amend the bylaw. Any seconds?
I second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Make it so, Alex.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next up, 2021 annual report submissions due by December 3rd. Do we have the draft from, last year's and draft one to start amending to this year's? Could you forward that along?
Yes. I will send that out. And then the other thing that I can actually bring up here, this is one of those things where one of the things that the Parks Board did that may make it easier for us in the future for when we're doing these now is they actually required as part of the initial part of their meeting right after comments or their administrative actions, they actually had a spot where the commissioners would turn in or give their volunteer hours or any of their activities that they have done so that it gets recorded right then. I'm sure they're using it for other reporting aspects for their grants and things like that. But then we would capture it in the meeting in the minutes, and it can easily then just put it into the annual report as we go. So that, because right now everybody is going to need to go through their calendar for the year and let me know or put into the document all of your training that you've done, any certifications, when you've had your working group meetings and things like that. So it will help to speed that up and make it a little bit easier. But I would like to have everybody get that information in and to me by December 3rd, because that'll give me 2 weeks to work on it before I need to turn it over and get it back out to everybody for review. And that's also the time frame that I'm working on the swamp for Rod.
Were you talking about for that being a regular meeting thing that people would list off?
Correct. In the agenda. So they could. That's something to think about. And you can make that decision in January when the new board's all in, whether that's something you'd like to do, or we can institute it now. But
yeah, I guess my consideration would be the cumulative amount of time we'd be taking doing that versus people just taking the responsibility to type it up and get it to you.
Okay. And it could just be, hey, I have stuff, I send it in. I send in my volunteer hours. So, and if not, we can just do it now, or do it the way we've been doing it. So,
I would think it might be nice to enact something of people making more of a habit of sending them to you monthly versus it being an end of the year piece. And perhaps we can put into place some type of reminder or protocol with that, but versus taking the meeting time to list it off. I know that's not a whole lot, but if you think about it at the end of the year, you multiply that out.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Marie. Could you do some kind of shared tracking log that we could just upload, when we remember instead of doing it at the end of the year?
Yes. I believe I can share with out of county. I'll have to check with my IT, with the IT. That's what we had run into before. We had the other system. I think it's still up and running, but it was difficult for everybody to access. And then they were making multiple copies and different naming. And so then it still wasn't in one document. It got renamed out to other documents. So then I was still combining six documents into one. So, but yes, I will double check into that and see, and if not, we'll get it out and available, and if as long as people get me the information, I can get it in pretty easily. I think when Michelle Maynard, she submitted hers, and I was able to just copy and paste everything in to each month for everything, so it worked out really well.
Okay. And then you were mentioning sending out a draft. I don't know if you're planning to send that to everybody. I'd like to at least see one for getting into edits. And
yeah.
Folks can all add. Yeah. Okay.
Because I think that'll be, especially with some of the things that have gone on this year with the for the draft and how it's different than last year, I think there'll be a number of things that'll need to be worked on, and some goals and things like that, and where you want to go with it.
Okay, great. Keep an eye on that. Next, we got election of 2022 officers. So, any interested parties in chair? Don't all speak at once. I'll do it if nobody's doing it, but I was going to say, in the past, I feel like, Michelle, you have not wanted to take that on. Is that correct? You're still feeling that way?
Are you talking to Michelle Gertz?
Yes, Michelle,
yes,
Michelle Gertz.
Yeah, no, I don't see that that's in the cards.
Fair enough. I also think you would make a good chair yourself, Matt, if you were interested.
I think you're doing a better job.
Well, I'll roll.
But thanks for the support.
You can nominate each other.
You could still support him as VP. Just saying.
I'll table that. I'm gonna put you up there for vice chair in a second.
You can always nominate each other.
So, do I need to go through the formality of having everybody vote for me to be chair again?
Yes, so you've been nominated. Is there a second?
Am I allowed to second it, even though I'm leaving? Mm-hmm. I second.
Yeah, you're still a board member.
Pass all the laws you can. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Well, I'm happy to continue doing it. I appreciate it that you guys are happy with me doing that. I know it is well without out of our hands, but I would love to really be able to have some meetings in person again in 2022. It's been kind of weird being chair of the virtual world. All right, vice chair. I put my nomination out for Matt.
I'll second that.
His screen just went away and he lost all
connection. Technical difficulties.
I'm still.
Well, you were just nominated and second, so while you were disappearing.
I'm still here. I'm on a slow connection as well. And thanks
for the support. Especially elect people, they disappear. You know, they're not here.
And Michelle Gertz, you were the second.
Yes.
Okay, wanted to make sure. I wrote down Michelle, and then all of a sudden I was like, which one?
Is there anyone else interested in running for vice chair? All right. Well, not hearing any with that candidate, Matt. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Official.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
We'll maybe look forward to working with you.
Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
It's a tough campaign.
All right. Next on the agenda with DEI, connecting diversity, equity, inclusion into Clean Water Commission's mission. I know this topic came up at the end of our last session and kind of got tabled with some more time to digest, so back again. I feel like Sue has some comments on this, and I'm sorry she's not here with us this evening, but...
One of the... I believe I sent to you all an invite to, if you were interested in learning more, the MUMA, M-U-M-A, University is offering free classes on, and it's actually through their business ethics coursework on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And if you want, you can actually, you can take it for free, or you can, I think it's like $99, and you can pay and, you know, get college credits if you so desire and get the certificate, the official certificate. So if you're interested and haven't signed up, I can send it again. But I think it was out of the South Florida University. I know that they fill up rather quickly, and it's actually a six-month course. It's already technically started, but it's just do as you on your own time, and there's seven sections, and you do the coursework, and then you take the quiz, and successfully completing all of the coursework during that time period before, I think it's the end of March or first part of April, then you're able to get your certificate. So if you haven't already, or you're interested, there's some other classes and things out there available as well.
Did that one come to your attention? Is that what county staff is doing?
It actually was something that I'm on the county's diversity, equity, and inclusion group, and that was something that was offered that had come through for us, and there were a number of other, and I think they sent it out to, it may have gone out countywide as well, I don't remember now. But there was a large group of people that got information about it. And so, and they, and if not, and if you can't for some reason do it, then you can sign up to get reminded about it, and they will then send you a flyer saying, hi, it's open. If you're interested, sign up. And it's really painless to actually sign up and do.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan, I think it was Michelle Gertz at the last meeting mentioned that we should check with neighboring conservation districts, soil drainage districts, and so that was part of my conversation also with Multnomah County Drainage District. Because we're on record here, I won't do it justice, so I'm not going to mention any details of what they mentioned to me, because I'm going to... Again, just because I'm not going to do it justice, but I will say I was really impressed with the amount of tangible initiatives that that district was undertaking and funding and creating positions for and consultants. It was quite extensive. I'm happy to... It was a shorter conversation among many other things, so I'm happy to follow up on that conversation and see how that might tie in. Also, just throw it out to the group, you know, also we might have, if we're thinking about how to tie to our mission and what we might want to do, I'm thinking of Portland State University's School of Gender, Race, and Nations has some excellent faculty. In fact, as part of their initiative, I believe they just hired six more faculty into that school this year, so I would be pretty certain that there would be a faculty member there as part of service to the community that would love to help us out in some way. I'm happy to pursue that path too if there's interest among the group. If there's not, I'm fine with that as well.
I'd be interested for sure in what you find out. I was thinking about, again, going back to the mention of NAC, that one of our ties to the community is through the outreach at the NAC meetings and the neighborhood associations. And certainly, Eric, I think in his focus groups, he's looking to get feedback from different diverse communities around some of the stormwater information, implementation issues, concerns. And I wonder if there isn't a possibility of the commission helping to identify people who might be in the focus group or enlist more people from actually the communities through the neighborhood associations at a NAC meeting, you know, relative to clean water. Maybe we could get a little better handle on what is actually out there, what the concerns are out there in some of these communities. Do you have thoughts, Marie? Yeah.
I do. I just had a, for my work, we're looking at septic eliminations for low-income neighborhoods, so I actually grabbed the census map from GIS and overlaid it on the neighborhoods. It gives you a wealth of information. I was using median incomes and up levels, but you could use the population, minorities, and kind of try to pinpoint where those minorities are. So, yeah, I think that would be a great project to dive into and see what we have there.
So maybe, Matt, would you find out from some of those other conversations we could take back to Eric and talk with him about how to link some of the work that Marie's done, how to put it together and have some more conversation.
Okay.
Under the auspices of the commission or furthering through the commission.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see more expansion on that data and that type of mapping overlay like you're talking about, Marie. It's the part that I would really be curious of, you know, for the next step is finding what it is that we want to address and what that part is. I mean, I think that, to me at least, my interpretation of the whole movement in this conversation is to try to make sure that there are communities, residents within our broader community that are being overlooked under the services and the attention to clean water, which is the latter part of being, you know, our mission focus right there. So finding that actual connection.
It was interesting too. I went to the Clean Water Conference in Boise and attended a couple sessions on diversity. And one of our speakers pointed out that it's not just race, you know, there's income and then there's age and there's, again, those populations that aren't the ones that you see at all these meetings, you know, who's underrepresented it. So I think that would be interesting. Again, that census data has a lot of information for all those categories, so it would be a good resource.
Yeah, and I mentioned a bit of that at the end of our last meeting, you know, trying to articulate what my thoughts were on that. But I think that, at least for me, a piece that is important is that when, particularly when you're talking about issues of clean water and storm water, I mean, our focus is surface waters, right? That being underserved and overlooked, the correlation is often socioeconomic. And that somebody in a desperate socioeconomic situation, regardless of race, in the community to be focused on. Trying to find, you know, like, to me, if we walk into it and say, okay, well, what we're looking to do is to address a community of this particular makeup, that to me is a different goal than addressing lower income. And I think one should be honest in what they're doing there with that and what the motivation is.
Well, it'd be nice if Matt had, you know, some input from the other places, how they're being biased or...
Yeah, I can definitely, it's a, definitely a conversation I'd like to revisit with those folks, just because I didn't have enough time to get into detail, so maybe getting something a little bit more concrete for us, I'm happy to do that.
And Marie, with what you were looking at, that was just at work? You were looking at the layers on the GIS map there?
Yes. Yeah, we were trying to find, because we're starting to get some grant funding, so that was part of it, is, you know, to be a better grant candidate would be to serve low-income areas to protect the water quality. So it was pretty interesting to take a look on their blocks and see all the data that is available.
I'll be getting into some of that with the conservation district too. We have a narrower geographic window, but there'll be a funding assistance with septic overhauls.
Oh.
And have to do part of that assessment based on people's financial situation in correlation with the environmental, you know, need of that spot. But yeah, it'll be, you know, kind of looking at that. And so doing a similar thing on countywide with Glen Fusco.
Okay, well, I have a lot of that data, so maybe we could talk offline if we want to.
Yeah, great. I'll switch hats and reach out to you.
So does the county Public Works and Clean Water Division in particular utilize any measures of environmental justice or disparate impact or do any work around that? You know, there's a number of tools out there that use census data and pollution data, like EPA's EJ screen tool, and I'm also thinking in terms of water bodies that might be used particularly for you know, supplemental household food, supplemental fishing, like the East Fork Lewis River and others, where there might be some disparate impacts where, you know, people who have less money or have cultural fishing traditions are more likely to be fishing and also thereby more likely to being exposed to stormwater-based pollutants. Is that something that the county looks at?
I'm sure they do. It's not in my realm. I can check and find out and get back to you and report at the next meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's on the same thing, and a lot of these conversations really have been going on for a while. And so, you know, I think while we're having the conversation about diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, environmental justice and where pollution is ending up is really a big part of that conversation, and especially for us, what's happening to water pollution and are the impacts being borne, you know, unevenly. And really also on the stormwater facilities, are some of the stormwater facility maintenance issues because the neighborhoods, the HOAs that are responsible for those facilities, you know, are lower value properties with lower income residents or, you know, absentee owners, i.e. landlords. And is that part of the issue we're facing with some of the maintenance problems on the privately controlled stormwater facilities?
It'd be interesting to see that correlation. And it was something I alluded to in our last meeting, was the, you know, the difference of interests, and this is one of the reasons why in our county in particular, like, I'm not at all opposed to any attention to, you know, equity on the racial lens. It's just that the county is not that diverse, and so when that focus becomes central, there's lots of other aspects that are overlooked. And I mentioned the difference between, you know, urban and rural areas, and a large part of that in correlation to stormwater and water impacts over at least the last few decades has been a lot with development. You know, where's development happening? Where are the interests served? Who's impacted by it? Who's the downstream effect? And I think that, you know, just broadening the scope of what the conversation of diversity means when you're looking at one group having an impact on another group, that voice isn't being heard because there's less finance behind it or less political power behind it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Brendan, and also just the way pollution is exported downstream. So, you know, as one area in kind of the upper parts of a watershed is being developed, there's a lot of money changing hands there. Particular parties are making a great deal of money, but if that is increasing in pollution or increasing stream flow flashiness or creating other problems, those problems are being exported downstream. So if you've been in a place for a while, all of a sudden you're being impacted by something that's going on, you know, some ways away upstream, and that's, it's, someone's making money off of it, but you're getting the cost. I think that's an issue as well, in a broader sense. And then I'm also thinking about kind of what that means as the county changes, and if there's places where this stormwater pollution is really, you know, being heaped onto those folks who have the least pull and the least resources to deal with it. I don't expect an answer from like county staff on this right now, but I think it might be an interesting and important topic for a future meeting to get some information on what, if anything, the county does do in this realm. And if it's not doing anything in this realm on the clean water side, then what are some options to take that into account and ultimately bring it to the council's attention if we're putting water pollution on people who don't generate it.
I feel like if we're going to continue this as kind of a regular conversation as we roll into 2022, or even with our annual report, you know, we'll be thinking about goals and objectives for this next year. And it seems like we've got some good ideas as far as some work we could do at looking at trying to see where some of these layers and impacts of on the ground effects are happening. So, food for thought for a future project for us to get into more. Any other input on this one? Alice, you mentioned being a part of the DEI group for the county.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to elaborate on anything they're doing reflectively with their work processes, or is it just been workshops at this point?
They've been active for quite a while. I've been on it for about 2 years. There's a annual mandatory training for all employees, and there is a lot of information and emphasis on it, especially through the group. Public health has their own specific DEI group, and they also have a large number of people that come into the big counties meeting. We are looking at getting out more. We've had some leadership change in the group in the last year, and also it's been difficult with having meeting virtually all the time, but we've been having some people from like Multnomah has come in and talked with us, and I think we have a couple other ones coming in, and we've done some training, and we It's actually part of the initial new employee training for the county once people are onboarded on to the training, onto the county. There is access to all the county employees, quite an extensive reading and video library, and a lot of access to podcasts and all those kind of things. We also are an active participant in the Northwest Public Employees Diversity Conference that's held every October. We just had it. I'm actually on, was on the organizing committee this year with that group. And Clark County had about 80 people, I think we had 80 people go attend the conference this year. And Clean Water, I think, had 9, potentially 10 people of that 80 people. So, you know, we had over 10% of the group attend. And it was ranging from education and outreach to monitoring to the people who go out and do local source control visits and public business pollution prevention, the site inspectors for the private inspectors, as well as management. We had a wide variety of people that attended, which was really good. And they're really excited about it. We've had a number of employees in our department who Jeff started it in early this spring, and then Justin has continued it, where I've been giving training for DEI stuff in all of our staff meetings, and that seems to have started making a real big difference in even how staff uses language and talking about it. So it's very small and grassroots. We have a number of public, I think there's probably about 20, I think, on the 20 or 30 employees on the CCEDIG, the big county group. And I think we probably have about 4 or 5, 6 maybe people in public works that are on it. And I know that potentially we have another Clean Water staff member that may be joining. They haven't yet, so I'm not going to say anything. But I know that they're interested.
Outside of education, though, has the county identified anything within the community or the on-the-ground work that the county should be looking at or doing more work? Are there areas that are needing attention or have been overlooked, or is it more than internal education and kind of
language exams? There is the internal, and obviously there was a big emphasis on that and on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the charter that was voted on yesterday. So I know that that had a huge influence on that. And I know that we have staff that are involved, you know, with the Title VI reporting, and I know that we do a lot of the, you know, like Eric, when he was doing his stuff for the behavior change, he went in and analyzed the area and the neighborhood, you know, and did the studies that you need to do to show that whether or not you need to, what languages you should be doing for the changing, if you need to have things translated or and what languages you should be doing them in and things like that. So I know that we're doing that kind of research, but at what level for advocacy, I don't know. I know that, you know, the Department of Ecology has environmental justice metrics that in our permit that obviously we are working and striving to meet. But beyond that, I don't know. you know, because there is a fine line between role of government and advocacy, outreach and things like that with the general public. But I know that it is something that is very, very important and is part of the overall public works mission, vision, and values statements that are coming out that they're working on. And I know that it is a major driver for the department. I just don't know yet if they are at a place where they are able to present things publicly and or at the level that you're asking for. I don't know if it's there or if we would even honestly be allowed to have it at that level.
Yeah, I guess my question, I'm pretty familiar with the broad push across the entire nation with all agencies to include this into more of their mission and their conversation. It was just more what the county is identifying within the community that they work for that mm-hmm. might have been overlooked or underserved with that, and how that ties in with, you know, the questions that we're asking ourselves about how clean water is addressed in the county. So
I know the clean water staff is definitely very interested, and they are getting much more educated and are in cases speaking up when they see things, and are much more cognizant of issues and working on things. I mean, even one of the things that I was even thinking about even with here is should the county and or this agency or this commission be doing a land acknowledgement? I do it in other board meetings for other agencies, but I don't know on a county level. But, you know, those are the things that haven't really been addressed yet, but are there. But I know that there are more, even along the lines of some of the health and safety things we've done, they've had classes that we've had through our healthy organization, classes that they have that are looking at, you know, when you go out hiking, how can you as a person of color, and how that affects, you know, because recreation and hiking is generally not something that has been strongly advocated for the BIPOC populations, as well as also even for some of the other aspects of even like transportation. How do you get low-income people out into the wilderness and things like that, and also for the Native Indigenous peoples in the area, and the impacts that we have had on those, and how current operations are reflecting those aspects. And those are things that are actually just even being brought in. So we're getting it from a lot of different levels and a lot of different ways. So, but specifically to clean water, what exactly we're doing, I don't know if we've had that, especially with the amount of change and where we haven't had a designated clean water manager for 2 years. You know, we finally now have a permanent manager in place that can go forward and take that. And I'm not going to speak up for him or you know, pigeonhole, you know, anybody into anything. But, you know, I know that it's something that's important, and I've heard that it's important from the upper levels of public works on down. And I know that it's things that they're working on. And we do have Title VI employees, and, you know, and I'm actually part of the Title VI reporting. So.
Alice, who is related to that? Who is for the county, our tribal liaison?
I don't know, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
I can find out.
Yeah, if you could find out, that'd be. I'd love to have that information just for whoever else, of course, but I just would love to have that information.
And is it, and you're looking at the county side, or are you looking at any specific?
I'm making an assumption that Public Works does not have a specific one. So I'm assuming that if we have a tribal liaison, it would be maybe at the county level then?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I was more asking if it was an internal, if it was an internal person, or if it was, you know, who is, say, for a specific tribe.
Nation. No. Yeah, for internal, for the county.
Okay.
So who is tasked in the county as being the liaison to the nations and tribes?
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other input from folks on this part before we move to rounding it out for you then? Not hearing any new business or general discussion to bring up?
I actually did forget one thing. Knew when I finished talking, but I forgot something. And that's that right now, even though we just kind of were 2 years into the current permit, and when I say that, I mean the NPDES municipal stormwater permit in full. Ecology is already considering what changes to make in the next cycle. They obviously start that consideration, that whole process, pretty early on. The next cycle doesn't start until 2025, I believe. But part of that effort is there are some ad hoc groups going on right now, and that's the permittees discussing the requirements and how they've been implementing them and what changes they'd like to see to the permit. That, in a way, informs ecology's process, in theory. We'll see what suggestions they take that come out of it. Rod is very heavily involved in that right now. It's a pretty quick process. The turnaround on it is just, it's kind of a few months. There was a meeting of all the Western Washington permittees, and they established working groups on various topics. Environmental justice may or may not have been involved in one of them. I don't remember off the top of my head. But it's an interesting process. It's quick, and it should help inform ecology on what to consider for the next permit cycle. So I'm sorry that I forgot that earlier, but it came to mind, and I just wanted to make sure I got it out there that that's going on.
Well, it's good timing for that part of the conversation. Anything else out there? I can't see heads nodding and hands raising. All right. So just in wrap up real quick, Alice, I'll keep an eye out for the annual report, and we'll be in touch soon about interviews, or candidate review, and then interviews after that. And I'll be in touch with Michelle and Matt about trying to arrange a meeting with those other partners on the Creek project.
Alice, do you need people to send you pictures for the annual report at all?
Yes, that's one of the things that needs to be. And so pictures of people, streams, obviously dogs, wildlife. Justin and Michelle have been really great sending me pictures of different things. And I know in the past Brendan has been really good about it, and so has Marie. So if anybody else, please send me lots of photos so I can use those in our report. Otherwise, I just have to recycle old ones. And I like to try to...
Watershed signs for
yes.
Every time we walk by a watershed sign on the WSU campus one day, and then another trail we were walking on, it was the Cougar Creek sign we stopped at. We've been taking pictures of them.
Yeah, it'd be nice to actually have everybody do that, because since obviously we've been virtual this entire year, it would be nice to have everybody get a picture by your watershed sign so that I can, maybe we'll do that for the intro with instead of having the big group picture like we normally would do, I can do individual pictures.
Ironically, we haven't caught the Lacamas sign, which is our watershed.
Mine
are gotten a couple others. But we gotta get the Lacamas sign at some point.
Or work. Right on. Well, not seeing anything else, I'm going to officially adjourn and let everybody go and have a good evening. Good to see you all in the virtual space.
Thank you for running again, Brendan.
Thank you. And thank you again, Michelle Maynard, for helping out and being such a great commissioner. Really appreciate all that you've brought, and also technically Sandra. Really appreciate everything.
And my great contributions and the meeting.
Well, you were here for two others too. Just more not in the official voting capacity. So
right on. Well, thank you, Alice, for putting everything together. Appreciate it. And talk to you all soon.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.